Buenas.
Welcome back to Film Posers for Boricuas ranting, raving, and reviewing cinema. Today, we are going to be recommending TV shows. So this is a TV episode. We had stated a while back that we will be covering both TV and film. But this time we're doing exclusively TV, just for you. We're going to bring you recommendations, past, present, and our moderator will be Juan Mojica. Take it away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Posers. So yes, as Josie said, we are going to be talking about TV shows. We've never really dived in as much to TV shows except for like the what we watched recently. But today, it's an all-TV episode. We're going to talk about past hits. Guilty pleasures, the newest shows that should be on your radar, and everything in between. So, we all love television shows. We all watch them, some more frequently than others. Some of us have a hard time keeping up with TV shows, which is ironic considering I'm the one who's hosting. But we're going to get some new recommendations today, and we have some categories. So to kick us off, we have Current Nostalgia, a show that you think is classic television that you feel everyone should enjoy at least once. So, I'm going to kick us off, and shows I feel everyone should watch at least once in their lifetime, they are sitcoms, they are, first off, The Golden Girls, the best sitcom of all time.
Obviously.
You cannot debate me on this. This age is like a fine wine. The reads are still good today. The comedy holds up. It advocates for LGBT rights. Like, this show has it all. And I feel this is a show that is must-see television. The other show, also a sitcom, also hilarious, The Nanny, which is currently on HBO Max, recently.
Appropriate. I really wanted to mention it.
It's so good. And it's ironic because sometimes at night I'm flipping through the channels and like Cozy TV has it on from like 11 to 1 a.m. And I'm here like on those days like I'm going to fix my schedule. And I see those and I'm like, never mind.
Yeah, you remember how everyone usually is like, oh, you would fall asleep with the TV on and you would wake up and George Lopez was playing?
Yes.
Yeah. That would happen to me a lot. So I will say that that was my experience as well. But for me, it happened more with The Nanny. I would wake up and The Nanny would be on. And that was my life.
I don't know if you remember, but The Nanny used to be on Nick at Night.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how I watched Full House. The same thing would happen to me. I would fall asleep and I would wake up and Full House was playing.
Good times.
Yeah. I used to watch a lot of The Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh yeah. Also Family Matters.
What about, have you guys ever watched Malcolm in the Middle?
Yes.
I never watched that one, actually.
Yo, Frankie Muniz really went through it, but he collected that check.
He collected that check and dipped, okay? Mm-hmm.
The Agent Cody Banks royalties.
Also, Bryan Cranston was there. He really said, I'm going to collect that check and then go to Breaking Bad.
Literally. So, for the next picks of Current Nostalgia, we go to Gabriela.
So, I only have one pick for Current Nostalgia, and I want to know if the posers will guess what it is, because I feel it's like the most obvious choice for me. So, this is a show that, it's one of my all-time favorite shows. You asked me what my favorite show is, and I will mention this one. And I think it's important because it really opened up the, you know, how to write sci-fi. It really opened up, you know, how that sci-fi didn't have to stick to just one thing. And for it being done in the time that it was done, it was so creepy and so well done. And, you know, people still talk about some episodes of this show.
Okay, so I have a guess. And I think it's the X-Files.
Okay. Juan, do you have a guess?
The Twilight Zone.
Josie, do you have a guess?
I think the Twilight Zone is more me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with X-Files.
You are right. It is the X-Files.
Yes, sir. It was obvious.
It was so obvious. Like, when Juan said, oh, like, mention a show you think everyone should watch, I just went, the X-Files. Like, I didn't think twice. So it is one of my all-time favorite show. I was just rewatching a couple of episodes and going through it because I don't think I've ever talked about how much physical pain the season 7 finale causes me. That's a whole other conversation. But it's so much fun because it's funny when it's funny, and when it's creepy, it gets creepy. Like that shit went dark in a couple of episodes. Like, some episodes were banned from ever playing on TV ever again. You can only find them on streaming services. So currently you can watch The X-Files on Hulu. So obviously, like, the banned episodes, you can watch them there, but they never play on TV ever again because they just really went too far. Like, it is very, it's a lot. But also, there's also an episode that they filmed here in Puerto Rico. Fun fact. In El Observatorio de Arecibo. May she rest in peace. So it's just such a great show. And to me, it really changed a lot in terms that sci-fi is not reserved to, you know, just space, and that it needs to be set in space. It can be on Earth, and it doesn't necessarily have to be aliens. No, it just, like, a lot of the topics that the show went to, you know, existentialism and what makes us human and all that fun stuff that I love. So yes, The X-Files, I love it. And to this day, I will die for Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny. But also, we don't talk about the revival. The season 11 doesn't exist. For my own sanity, I pretend that season doesn't exist because it was horrible. So stay until season 10 if you want to. But yes, I love The X-Files, and I've been telling the posters to at least watch the pilot because that pilot is amazing. One of my favorite pilots. But yes, The X-Files. Very predictable, I know. But it is what it is. The truth is out there.
All right. Anna, what's your current nostalgia?
So, I was going to pick an animated TV show. However, I remember that I really used to love this show a lot. And I used to ate that up. Even though it had a horrible ending. Posers, can you guess what TV show am I talking about?
You're talking about animated?
No, I was going to talk about an animated show, but then I remembered about this TV show, and it's going to have a revival?
I think you're talking about...
Is it Dexter?
The bloody good time known as Dexter?
It's Dexter.
My love and hate with the Dexter, okay?
I think everyone relates.
So I picked this up as a nostalgia because it was my first TV show that I watched completely. And I loved it. I used to watch it with my sister and my cousin. I used to even, like, buy the comic books and everything and the merch. But then that series finale came and it just blew it. It just blew it completely. And I'm so sad because it's like the character and the storyline was so good until fourth season. And everything went downhill. Everything went downhill, and it's frustrating to see it as a fan, how they messed up the storyline. But I'm really happy that it's gonna have a revival. It's gonna have a 10 episode series that is like years after the series finale. So I hope they make amends and they do right with this character, because the ending was so bad. It was so bad. It was worse than Game of Thrones. When I saw that Game of Thrones finale, I was like, you know what? At least it's not Dexter.
I mean, it was close. It was close.
Ma'am.
It was bad, I agree.
Yeah, because that character development, it just went downhill. It was like, what was the point of this character? You're just gonna throw everything away. And just looking at game, like the Game of Thrones characters and the series finale, I was like, you know what? This wasn't bad.
Cersei Lannister would like to enter the group chat.
No comment on that one.
I'm just saying.
Josie.
So, for my current nostalgia, I went way back with the 2001 Disney Channel show called The Proud Family, which a lot of people really enjoy. And, of course...
Yes. Proud Family rights. Yes.
If you've never heard of The Proud Family, it follows 14-year-old Penny Proud, who's growing up. She's trying to gain her independence and faces typical teenage experiences in junior high. With the help of her parents, Trudy and Oscar, and her grandma, Sugar Mama, Penny faces all sorts of comical events. It was an animated sitcom. It ran from 2001 to 2005. And I just really liked it. Especially, I rewatched the pilot. And I honestly believe La Cienega had a thing for Penny. And... also, they had Penny on a hoverboard in 2001, and I did not remember how wacky it was, and yet it's still so enjoyable. As well, it did receive a lot of accolades for its animation at the time, and it had people such as Samuel Jackson, Raven Simone, Keith Ballmer, Maria Canales, Cedric the Entertainer, Kyla Pratt, and many more. As well, the theme song. Come on, it was a boss theme song, and it was performed by Solange featuring Destiny's Child. I mean, come on.
That theme song still hits today.
It slaps.
It does.
And I gotta say, the Proud Family did age well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I really and the movie. Yeah, I was gonna talk about the movie. The movie, it was really great. It was really entertaining.
Yeah, and also the crossover TV episodes with, like, Lilo and Stitch.
Listen.
That episode was so good.
That was amazing.
Yeah, and my shout out is Totally Spies.
Yo. That show was good.
Totally Spies really was just ahead of its time.
Yes, totally. It slapped. I wish the gadgets were real, though. Those gadgets were so cool.
They were so fun. And also, like, Sam, Clover, Alex, they were just fun to look up to. And just the whole concept, it was just good.
Now we're moving on to our second category. And this category is called Baby Comeback. A show you wish would be revived after its unfair cancellation. A show that you can consider ahead of its time. Or couldn't get the proper finale it deserved. We're going to switch up the order real quick, and we're going to start with Gabriela.
Jeez. Okay. I don't think the posters are going to guess this one, because I've never mentioned this show on the podcast. So the thing about this show is that they kind of knew that it was getting canceled, so they tried their best in concluding it. But still, there were some things left unanswered, and the fans just wanted more. And to this day, it's been 10 years. And to this day, we still want more. And I say that me rewatching the show got me through 2020, because I think I rewatched the show like 3 times in 2020. Because it was available on Prime. So I just dropped everything and watched and rewatched it again. And that show is Smash.
Of course.
Smash. So if you don't know, Smash is a show that aired on NBC, and it is about Broadway. So basically, it's these two women who are both auditioning for the role of Marilyn Monroe in a brand new Broadway musical. And so it's all about the industry, and basically every single star is a famous Broadway star. So me watching it, my rewatch, when I rewatched it last year, I was just like, oh my god, I recognized everyone, because when I watched it when it aired back in 2011, I didn't know who those people were, except Deborah Messing. But, you know, rewatching it, I knew who everyone was. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, the songs slap. Like, I listened to that, to the soundtrack on repeat. And, yeah, like, the finale, there were still some unanswered questions. Like, it's been 10 years, and I can't believe we still don't know who won the Tony for Best Director. Like, what the fuck, Smash? I feel like that was an answer we needed, because literally the entire plot of Season 2 was trying to find out who was going to win Best Director. And how dare you not show it? We deserve the answers. It's a fun show. Obviously, if you like Broadway, if you like musicals, because it's obviously a musical, you're for sure gonna like Smash. And yes, I wish they would bring it back, because last year the cast reunited for like had a reunion, and they all said that they would be willing to do it. Make it happen, please, NBC, or, you know, anyone else, literally anyone else, pick up Season 3 of Smash so that we can get a proper conclusion and have answers. Please make it happen, and we can get new songs that I can listen to on repeat, because I don't know how much longer my phone is gonna tolerate me listening to the goodbye song on repeat.
All right, next up, Anna.
So the TV show that I'm going to talk about, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you already know. you already know what show I'm going to talk about. Because when it hit on Netflix, I was nonstop. I did my rewatch and everything. So the show is called NBC's Hannibal.
Bless. And
never heard you talk about that on the podcast before, Anna.
It's my agenda, okay?
And we love that for you.
Again, it's a show that it was ahead of its time, okay? And the fact that it got canceled, it got a lot of the fans angry and sad. We were frustrated. But Brian Fuller was like, oh, the show is getting canceled. So the last season was season 3. And he was like, you know what? Let's make it gay. And that's what he did.
He did that for us.
He did that for us, okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Brian Fuller, for going hard for the gays. Thank you.
He really did that. And the fact that it was acknowledged on the TV show.
The murder husbands, yes.
The murder husbands, when Will said, is Hannibal in love with me? Of course he is.
Yes. But then Will went on to marry a woman. God damn it. The betrayal.
He had one job.
One job!
No, but... Okay, but going back again, it's a show that was definitely ahead of its time. The cinematography, I can describe it that it looked like a moving painting. That's how much I can say about it. The storyline was very complex, but it was so beautiful, and it was so beautiful, like the line delivery, everything. I just loved it, and it was so sad that it got canceled. And the most frustrating thing of them all is that damn NBC brought a new TV show called Clarice. Who even is talking about Clarice? Nobody's talking about that TV show.
And they couldn't have Hannibal in it, and it's like, if you're not gonna give us Hannibal season 4, then you can't use Hannibal ever again.
Honestly, that was embarrassing. And the fact that fans keep saying, hey, we won season 4, and when Netflix acquired the TV series, people were hitting up Netflix like, hey, season 4. Even Brian Fuller was like a little bit hopeful that we get another season, because the season 3 ended very...
You can say the cliffhanger, Anna. It's fine.
Abruptly.
Yeah, it ended very abruptly, but at the same time, it was a good ending for the characters.
No, it wasn't, Anna. We needed more.
They were very passionate.
It's a good ending in terms of, you know, what, in terms of the show. But at the same time, how dare you leave us there?
Especially the only thing that, okay, other than the, like, what's going to happen to them. But when they show I forgot her name, the psychiatrist, Hannibal's psychiatrist.
Yes, yes. Hey, you can say my queen, Gillian Anderson. It's fine.
When Gillian Anderson,
Bedelia du Maurier's.
I think it. Yeah, Bedelia. She did that. And I want to know what the fuck is going to happen to her character.
I know! She's so weird, but I liked her. Obviously, it's Gillian Anderson. I like everything she does. But her character was so cool.
She was. And it was like, you see her character slowly being consumed by Hannibal.
Yeah.
I love how all the actors, when they did like a... They recently did
the reunion panel.
Panel, yeah, everybody was up for it. And Matt's really cute with his flower crown. Everybody was wearing a flower crown. I love that.
Yeah, but Matt was vibing and smoking a cigarette.
We love him thriving.
Yes.
Well, from cannibals to Josie's pick. So Josie, what's your pick?
It has to do with food too.
Don't eat while you're listening to this episode.
So, the show got canceled after one season, which was very sad.
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it?
I know, you said food canceled after one season. Is it Baker and the Beauty?
Yes!
Never heard her talk about this on the podcast. Don't know what you mean.
I'm bringing it back because it's currently streaming on Netflix, and it was in the top 10 for more than a week, and that's sparking up again petitions and everything to get it running again, and people are actually responding to it, so we'll see how it goes. But I'm bringing it in because of that. Now, I've spoken about it here before. It's a rom-com series from 2020. It was filmed in Puerto Rico, but it's Puerto Rico stands for Miami in the show, and it's Little Havana, and it follows this family that has a family bakery, and Daniela Garcia, who falls in love with the celebrity, and just, again, lots of romance, comedy mixed in, and yeah, a lot of people loved it. Some people could live without it. I personally would like to see it to continue because, of course, the ending was such a huge cliffhanger. And I'm pretty sure they were maybe confident they would get that season two, but unfortunately they didn't. Hopefully with everything that's going on, maybe they could get a second chance. I don't know. But anyways, it's streaming on Netflix, and give it a chance because it's very fun. And if it was in the top 10 for as long as it was recently, it was debunked right now because a lot of new things have come on Netflix. So I'm pretty sure it was because of that. Still. And the next thing that my honorary mention, it hasn't been canceled. I just wanna, it's Netflix too, and I'm here like tapping my wrist, like, where is the renewal for Julian the Phantom's Netflix?
I knew it.
Of course. Your agenda.
As it should. By the way, Baker and the Beauty, fun fact, as of this recording, the number 7 in TV shows today out of all the TV shows on Netflix right now.
Yeah, it's been doing really well on a lot it's of people on my are actually watch liking. List. Yeah, I know David Del Rio, I found out because of him because he shared that a lot of people were signing the petitions again, and they're trying to bring back the show again after a lot of people turned it down, a lot of networks, and I know it was pitched to Netflix, so I'm assuming they said no at first, but the fact that they gave it a home and it's doing so well, maybe we could see something happen, but I don't know, because you know how Netflix is.
Well, if you send me that petition, I'll sign it. I'm ready. Glad to help.
But yeah, Baker and the Beauty, would love to see it come back, and Julian the Phantoms, please, I need my favorite himbos. I need them now.
Yes, please. That show is so much fun. It's so cute. You know, it's just a dose of serotonin, exactly what we need right now. But I hope that somehow it finds a new home and more people are able to enjoy it because it's so much fun.
So it's time to bring up my baby comeback. And if you follow me on Twitter, I'm sure you will have seen at least 3 of these on my list. But I am going to talk about one that I have mentioned on the podcast before because it still upsets me to this day. It is from MTV. It is a horror series. It had potential. They ruined it with a third season. That didn't make any sense of the current lore. Yes.
I wonder.
I know. It's very hard to think of keeping it outside the box for everyone. Scream, the TV series.
What?
Listen. Absolutely have never heard you talk about that show.
I know.
Idea. No idea.
I'm giving versatility today.
Honestly.
So, yes, I'm upset because I can't believe that they left us on that cliffhanger from the Halloween episode. If you've seen season 2, you know what I'm talking about. You know, spoiler alert, there's a killer missing. And we never got the answer. And then we just switched to season 3, which you've heard me rant about season 3 here. So I'm here trying to figure out why they couldn't just complete one story that they were getting right. You know how MTV recently has had some shows that, you know, were good but then got canceled. Eye Candy. And some are just not good.
MTV is just plain ridiculousness 24/7.
That's the problem.
I don't know why.
And they think it's good TV.
Look, yeah. There's only one episode of Ridiculousness that I will fully support, and that is because it has Becky Lynch on it. That's the only episode I will watch.
Just bring back Girl Code and Scream for one.
Bring me back Scream if you're going to fix the final season. Because you know what? As the Scream fan here, you could have sent the Lakewood 6, well, Lakewood 5, to college and given us something similar to Scream 2, and you could have ended it there. You just needed one big send-off, and you didn't give me that. And I'm still sad about it, but I'm glad the actors are getting work. For example, if you've listened to our Sundance episode, you know that Carlson Young, who was in Scream, the series, directed The Blazing World, which I really enjoyed. And John Carna, Noah, was in that movie as well, so we love to see it for them. And the other show, now I'm actually giving versatility, is called Two Broke Girls. I know, I thought you guys were expecting me to say Scream Queens. But
yeah.
Keeping y'all on the edge of your seat, that's my brand. So yeah, Two Broke Girls. It had 6 seasons. If you don't know what Two Broke Girls is, it was on CBS. It starred Kat Dennings and Beth Bears. It was a sitcom about two young women waitressing at a greasy spoon diner who strike up an unlikely friendship in the hopes of launching a successful business if only they can raise the cash. Caroline's character was a former millionaire whose father lost it all. So, I really love this series. It's not for everyone. I understand that. But my problem is that I have seen the final episode, or what they ended up considering the final episode, and you know how it's like Hannibal. You're like, you can't end it there. You just can't end it there. You just need like a special, something to give it a proper send off. And that's the case with Two Broke Girls, because it was so much fun. It was very funny for me. I introduced one of my best friends, Caroline, to it recently, and she's loving it so far. So clearly I'm not insane. There is a slight fandom there. But my problem is that sometimes shows get abandoned because, oh, you could say ratings. Or you could say, oh, it's just time to let it go. But if you have a show that lasts more than 5 seasons, there's clearly an audience. And if you want to end the show, fine, but give it a proper ending. Like one of the shows I'm going to discuss later on. So yeah, I'm upset with Two Broke Girls being canceled. It still haunts me to this day because a show that is playing there now called Mom, I've tried to see it. It's not for me.
Yeah, but it's ending right now. It's on the last season, I think.
Yeah, but at least they're getting a proper ending. That's what it's like. Okay, you had 170 episodes. I'm here like Two Broke Girls just needed. You could have given us a 10-episode season, ended the show properly, given everyone a proper send-off, and have been fine. But that's the problem sometimes with TV. You're in for the storytelling, you're loving it, and either it could have a great ending because it's planned, or you end up with an ending that just doesn't sit right and leaves you with questions, which is a shame.
And now we'd like to take a moment to talk to you about our sponsor, Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. And we're back. Thank you for listening to our sponsor. Now we're going to continue with the next category.
Yeah, so now we are going into Guilty Pleasures, a show that you know is not amazing, but you just can't quit it. We've all had these type of shows before, so let's get into it. We're going to start with Anna.
I feel that this is going to be mixed with the audience, but the show that I picked for this category, it's called Big Mouth. And here's the thing. The thing that I kind of don't like is the animation. Because the animation is just, it doesn't look aesthetically pleasing, okay? However, I stick to the story and with the jokes because it's intriguing and I kind of want to know what happens next. Every time there's a new season, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to watch it. But I end up binge watching it. And I don't know. Have you guys seen Big Mouth?
You know it.
I haven't.
Josie, do you have the same feeling as I do, or do you actually like both?
So, a lot of people have found the animation to be jarring, and it is what puts a lot of people off from the show. But it's a fun show, and it's funny, and it's an interesting way to tell these stories because up to a certain point, they are conscious of what they're saying. And it does have a feeling of sex education where there is that comedy and, you know, trying to tell stories about sex and still make them entertaining while still having it be informative and educational.
It is. And the thing is, it doesn't, I feel that the jokes that they put, it's not in a disgusting way that it just throws you off. I feel that it's funny and unique, the jokes. And I don't know, that's what keeps me going, like, with watching Big Mouth. And because I haven't seen this kind of, like, adult animation that tackles these kind of stories and, you know, sexuality and growth in that way.
Yeah, it's definitely a show you have to get used to. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. Because, I mean, you do have close-ups on people's genitalia constantly, regardless of the age. And, again, it's weird sometimes. It's very weird.
It is. But, I don't know, it's just something, the way that they put it, that it just keeps me to, like, wanting me to watch more.
Yeah, especially, yeah, it's mostly because that first season was very good in how they presented things, especially dealing with puberty. And I think for people going through that aspect of their life, it's easier for them to understand it, and it doesn't gatekeep information from that age group, which a lot of educational systems do, depending on policies or religious bias, etc. So that's a good way to get that information out there. And I don't think it's too crude, at least. I think definitely this goes more to people older than the characters that are being portrayed. But other than that, yeah, it's definitely a guilty pleasure of mine too.
Yeah, because it's a show that I just generally just watch the first day that it comes out on Netflix, and I don't
same.
Watch it until the next season.
Yeah, no, it's a binge when it comes out the same day, never see it again, then watch the next season and repeat.
Exacto.
And I mean, I really love John Mulaney as Andrew.
Right now, John Mulaney is like the reason I want to watch that show, so I'm glad he's a highlight. But speaking of guilty pleasures, Josie, what is your TV guilty pleasure?
Oh boy. So I'm going to let the audience know this was very hard for me. This was the toughest category to pick because a lot of my guilty pleasures, I do understand that they are guilty pleasures, but I never finished them. So that was the hardest part because usually with a guilty pleasure is something you really love, which I do love these shows. There comes a point where you have to enact self-care and realize that it's time to let a show go. And that happened to me with Teen Wolf. I did not finish Teen Wolf. It happened to me with Vampire Diaries. I did not finish Vampire Diaries. So a lot of these, like, I didn't finish. And one I was going to mention was Rain, which I didn't finish. And it's so sad because I love that show. But I digress. There comes a point where you need to know that you have to let a show go.
That was me with Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, there comes a point where even though you love it and it is a guilty pleasure, there's a time you have to just step away. And, well, honorary mentions first, of course, America's Next Top Model, which is so problematic nowadays when you look back at it.
Honestly.
It is.
The only thing I still carry with me from that show is that it definitely prepared me for COVID in terms of learning how to smile with my eyes because I'm wearing a mask.
Yes.
That's the only thing.
The other mentions are The Royals and Shadowhunters.
Shadowhunters? I watched it in its entirety because I am trash and I am also a big fan of the books. So I sat through it. I did it for Magnus and Alec and for Magnus and Alec only.
Which is usually the common reaction. We were there for Malik. They were the highlight of the show.
That was the one thing that show did correctly. The rest is debatable.
No, Mama, you can say it. It's garbage.
I wouldn't say
oh my God.
I wouldn't say it's complete garbage because it definitely had its good moments.
Where?
I really liked.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't like it. Juan, listen to me. As a fellow Mortal Instruments fan.
Yes.
The conclusion for the City of Glass storyline, the whole Valentine storyline, it had a good conclusion on the show. Like, they changed it, obviously, but it was a good conclusion. And I really liked the pilot. That's it.
I find the show did as good as it could, but I will say I'm team movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like same. Exactly.
Yeah.
But let's get into my real guilty pleasure. This is a show that I actually also stopped watching, but the reason I decided to go with this one is because I think it's justifiable the fact that I stopped watching it and I did not finish the show. I think it's justifiable and you'll understand when I say it. But I love it. I've rewatched. I think it was good. Critical response was great when it started. It's understandable how it plummeted. I do not judge them. It's okay. It did not. They needed to stop and they were not stopped, but eventually it did stop. And that is Once Upon a Time.
Oh my God. That was my pick.
Escándalo.
Gasp.
Then let's talk about it together because, oh boy. It's such a good show.
What?
And it gave us iconic male eyeliner looks.
Yes. And it introduced the world to Jamie Dornan.
It did. And he was so good in it. And I miss him. I loved him in that season. It was so good at turning everything on its head and the intricate storylines and just the way everything flowed. It just, again, it didn't have a good ending, and it just felt like they were running out of material, which I totally understand, but I feel like if they had just planned things accordingly, but of course, I wasn't in the room, so I don't know what happened, but it was just sad to see it kind of deteriorate because it was so good.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. The Frozen storyline happened.
See, that's why I picked it as my guilty pleasure, because I love this Frozen storyline. I think they did a good job.
At first I was invested, but then they did that whole mess with the Snow Queen, and that whole thing was just like, who wrote this? Who did this? Whom's?
It was fun, and I liked who they casted.
No, the casting was good. That I will die on this hill that show knew how to cast people.
That casting was so good.
But to this day, the Peter Pan season is my favorite one. Evil Peter Pan, I thought
it was wild.
Brilliant. I loved it. I loved that season.
Yeah, because they did it the way they were supposed to. They knew how to write their seasons. They knew how to turn these storylines into being... So they knew how to be loyal to the source material, like the real source material, while still keeping things that people loved from other adaptations and also adding their own flair. Mm-hmm. That was the key thing that they knew how to do very well. Mm-hmm. But again, once it got to like the later seasons, it went all over the place.
Yeah, it should have ended with season three. That's a like a comment. Like, everyone agrees with that, that it should have ended in season three. And then they just had to go to continue the show and kill off Robin Hood. They think I forgot.
That's when I stopped watching.
I haven't forgotten. It still hurts. It still hurts like a bitch. Also, that whole King Arthur storyline with Hades. And
it was weird.
They kill Hades and King Arthur becomes the ruler of the underworld. Do these people not know how Greek mythology works?
I don't know. Anyways, that's why I say it's justifiable that I stopped watching. They killed Robin Hood and I was out.
So, Once Upon a Time was my choice, but my honorable mention is Desperate Housewives. That show had good critical reception. It didn't win a lot of awards, but the problem is that when you watch it now, it did not age well. But it's so funny, and those characters are so funny. I think what makes it funny are definitely those character interactions. There, it has some really well-written jokes and some well-written storylines. Like, there's some storylines that are just wild. Like, how is that happening in Fairfield, suburban United States? You know, that's just wild. Like, who the fuck thought to crash a plane on the street? You know, there's just some things that...
What?
Yeah, a whole plane crashes on Wisteria Lane.
Tenet was inspired.
A whole plane... And it's just, like, that episode is hilarious because that's a plane, but also how they wrote the episodes for it to be like, oh, this is gonna happen, and then the entire episodes are a series of events leading up to that moment, and then we find out that the reason why the plane crashed was because the pilot was arguing with his wife and he had a heart attack.
What?
And then the plane killed like a character that I hated, and I was so happy because that character didn't die. So, and also all the guest stars in that show, it has some wild guest stars, and yes, some that I would say it's not the entire show that didn't age well. It's just certain storylines, like in terms of LGBTQ representation, like there's a lot of things that definitely did not age well, but also for it being a show in the early 2000s that had that amount of representation, you know, it was some things were good, some things were done very poorly, but it's funny. I rewatch it and I laugh. I've seen that show with my mom like 4 times and it's funny, and I've cried in that show so many times too. So it's definitely a guilty pleasure. And I don't know, I feel like if you want to watch it, watch it. But also if you don't want to watch it because, oh my god, it's the white women problems, I totally understand. Because it's kind of like Big Little Lies, but without all the good stuff.
Can I be honest? I've never seen Desperate Housewives. The only thing I know Desperate Housewives for is the meme where the girl says, "Hi, I'm the whore that lives down the street."
Ingrid, oh my god, they did her character so dirty.
Honestly, the only thing I know about this is the name itself. This is the first time I heard what's even about.
Yeah, so it's about 5 housewives living in Wisteria Lane and shit happens to every single one of them.
And now it's time for my guilty pleasures, and I have a lot. This was the category that was easiest for me to come up with options for, but hardest to deduce. So, my honorable mentions first. The first one is a show that I just found out is not coming back for a second season, from VH1, called Scared Famous, which is a horror reality television series hosted by Redman. And it features 10 cast members from various VH1 shows competing in horror-themed challenges inside a haunted house in Savannah, Georgia, for a prize up to $100,000 for their favorite charity.
What?
Yes, this show was wild. This show was wild. Okay, the casting. You had people from Love and Hip Hop, like Nicki Minaj's ex, Safari Samuels, Erica Mena. You had Young Jock, Nicki Mudaris. Then you had a mob wife known as Drita. You had Flavor of Love pioneer Tiffany New York Pollard, America's Next Top Models Eva Marcille and Dawn Benjamin. Black Ink Crew's Sky Days, and RuPaul's Drag Race Own Alaska. Look, I know I watch a lot of bad things that people consider like trash, but this is like the trash that I can't look away because it's so ridiculous that I just have so much fun watching it. I just couldn't stop laughing. It's a wild ass ride, but it's the kind of show where you're like, I don't expect it to work. And for a lot of people, it won't. But for me, it was kind of like, I would like to see more of this, please. Let's go again. But it's not going back. So it's going to be a lovely thing for me to rewatch on Halloween this year. My other honorable mentions were The Royals from E. I, like Josie, stopped watching it after a certain point. I couldn't keep up. I ended up around season 2. I'm going to rewatch it. It's on Amazon Prime Video, so I'm going to rewatch it. Total Divas is the other honorable mention, which, of course, me, a fan of WWE, never would have guessed. Where it focuses on the personal lives of the female wrestlers working within WWE. It's on E as well. Again, it's fun. But my top choice, it is a staple in American history, a television classic. This show revived MTV. I'm talking about the one that caused controversy, but is still quoted today. And that is the one, the only, Jersey Shore.
Wepa.
Jersey Shore was a cultural reset.
It was a cultural reset.
Fun fact, I never watched it.
Jim Tan Laundry.
Gabriela did not know the GTL or that the cabs were here or the duck phone. Okay, Gabriela, we're going to have to give you a crash course one day.
The meatballs.
The meatballs.
The meatballs.
I've seen the memes. I've seen clips. Like, I know what Jersey Shore is. I know the people involved. I just never sat down and watched the full episode.
Okay, well, mama, this is garbage, but it's trash. It's great trash.
Galina, do you at least know the famous mysterious letter? Yes.
Oh my god, yes. Dear Sam, that night at bed, Ron put his head in between a cocktail waitress's breasts and made out with two girls. That's going to be standing right next to the Declaration of Independence in terms of iconic letters. And they were typing it on a computer. And she's like, this is going to be so bad. And of course, how could we forget the season where they went to Italy?
Yo, that was their most viewed season.
I was here like, what did they do? It was.
I remember because I was mentioning that I learned about public intoxication being illegal. Like, you can get arrested for public intoxication in Italy from that show. And the thing is that I remember when I was in Italy, one of my roommates was publicly intoxicated and we were carrying her. And all I could think about was that episode.
No, with Nookie didn't have her driver's license either. And there her roommates were trying to rush to the scene with her license.
Didn't they have like a reunion like 2 years ago?
The reunion apparently all the way got to season 4, according to IMDb. So I have some watching to do. Anna, we'll get to that in the summer. Because we have to know for the guilty pleasure. Oh, and the important thing we have to talk about. The fights with Angelina.
I felt bad with her, okay? Because there was this moment that it was too much.
What?
It was too much. I felt bad. Okay, was it Angelina? No, there was this other girl that they always fought with.
Sammy?
Was it Sammy? I think it was
Angelina. Yeah, Sammy, sweetheart. I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet, but don't mess with me.
No, I feel... Because there was this moment that everybody hated Angelina, and I just kind of felt bad for her. Because they made her... like as the Brad character. And I feel that I don't know, there was this reality show that Angelina was a guest and she started talking about her struggles in Jersey Shore and I just felt bad for her.
Well, guess what, Anna? She came back in Family Vacation.
Oh boy.
So we need to see what's going down at the shore. And so we're gonna move on to our final category called The Newest Hottie. The newest show that you've discovered that you feel people should be watching, or the show that you've been meaning to get to and you feel should be on other people's radar as well. So for this category, we're going to start off with film poser Josie.
I don't even know how to introduce this show. It's masterful. It is creative. It is poetic. It is beautiful. It is Dickinson on Apple TV Plus.
I knew it.
I had a feeling.
I knew it.
Newest hottie alert, Dickinson. Yes, 2 seasons. They're filming season 3 right now, and it's just amazing. I love Hailee Steinfeld. It's so good. The writing is fun. I prefer season 1 over season 2, but season 2 did have some really beautiful scenery. I love what they're going, and I love what they're doing. It's so creative. Every episode is a take on a poem by Emily Dickinson, and the first season is her wanting to accept that she is a poet, so it deals a lot with that. And once she accepts that and her family finds out, then season 2 is more about her dealing with fame, which of course we know she never had because her poems were not discovered until they were published after she passed away. So it is a take on why her trying to deal with fame, but also why it never happened. And then season 3 is going to go deeper into that. So it plays a lot with that. Again, Hailee Steinfeld is really great. The entire cast is really good. Everyone plays really well off of each other. And another thing is that even though it is a period piece, it is told and represented with mannerisms from today. So like in the first season, Dickinson, like she's smoking an actual cigarette. And it's a modern day cigarette and all that. So they just play around a lot. And the historical inaccuracies are on purpose. So it's just fun. And my shout outs are Diary of a Future President on Disney Plus, which is getting its season 2. They filmed it during COVID. So props to them for just continuing. And the fact that they got a season 2, I'm just very happy for that. Because think of it as if you like Lizzie McGuire growing up, this is Lizzie McGuire, but make it Latino. And I love it. It is so fun. And the stories are really nice. And I'm really glad that younger viewers have this right now. And another quick shout out is Hentified, which is on Netflix, which, I mean, it got nominated for a Peabody Award. Come on.
All right. So next up is me. And you've listened to the podcast. You know I'm terrible keeping up with new shows. It's a fact. So I have one show that I'm currently watching because it started again last Sunday. And I feel people just need to know about the fact that Pose season 3 is on and it is ending the season. I'm going through it. They premiered the first two episodes this Sunday on FX, and y'all, I was ready. The opening for this season is iconic, just to give you an idea, because the meme's probably on Twitter. There is a food fight in the first episode while Tootsie Roll is playing in the background. It's so good. It looks like it's going to be very much more heavy in terms of the dramatic elements and themes this season. Right now they are focusing more on Pray Tell, but me being the Electroabundance fan that I am on this show, and of course Blanca, I would like to see more of them this season. I hope them and Angel and Poppy have a great arc this season and they get a great ending. And it's not that I don't like Billy Porter on the show. I think Billy Porter is great, don't get me wrong. But I feel like they're shifting more towards his story. And because it's a theory. Why do I have a feeling they're going to kill off a major character on Pose and it might be Billy Porter's character? Because they're talking a lot about death. It's dealing with the AIDS crisis. It's in the 90s. Like, I don't know. As of right now, that's where I feel it could be leading to. If you haven't seen the episodes, there is a season pass on iTunes. I recommend it. The FX network for Puerto Rico, I have understood, does not work in terms of like the app, and the episodes are not on Hulu because of the Netflix acquisition. And if you're asking when is Pose going to be season 3 going to be on Netflix, I think it's like it takes a year for it to like arrive, or like 10 months because of the acquisition. So if you haven't seen the first two seasons, highly recommend. They are on Netflix. You can wait like Josie to binge the whole show, or you can start right now. And if you have the FX network, they are premiering their episodes every Sunday. It is a short season. It is 7 episodes. So if you are a fan of Pose, please, let's give them the rating so they can go out on a good high. And because I need them to be at the Emmys this year, or whenever they qualify, I just need them at the Emmys. I cannot have another Emmy season where they snub Dominique Jackson and MJ Rodriguez. I can't. We've mentioned this is my villain origin story. I need them nominated. And as for a show I have not gotten to out of the many, the one that I am interested in starting once my semester ends, it's of the Nicolas Cage Agenda. It is on Netflix, and it is called The History of Swear Words.
I haven't heard about that.
Really?
No, I haven't.
How have you not?
Me either.
The History of Swear Words, since Netflix is not the best advertiser, I'm here to remind you. It's an education in expletives, the history lesson you didn't know you needed, hosted by Nicolas Cage, a loud and proudly profane series that explores the origins, pop culture usage, science, and cultural impact of curse words. Look, this had me at Nicolas Cage. And then it sold me even more with him talking about swear words. So, because it kind of looks like if it's Drunk History, but with swear words and Nicolas Cage. Anna, you would agree that the Cage agenda is very important here at Film Posers.
It is.
So it is 6 episodes. It's on Netflix. They're apparently like, they're not supposed to be that long. Yeah, they're like less than 30 minutes each. I could most likely finish that in a day. So I am excited to watch that when I am done. I'm excited to watch a lot of shows. And yes, Josie, I will be putting Dickinson on my summer watch list.
Good.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had a pick, but the two other posters watched it, finally. So my pick is actually a new HBO series that's called Mayor of Easttown. It stars Kate Winslet, and it is a murder mystery show in a small town in Pennsylvania called Easttown, and it follows Mayor. Obviously, she's our detective, and she's trying to solve both a disappearance and a murder. And it's great. Like, I was so let down by The Undoing last year. And then this show comes along, and so far it is delivering. Like, that, this mystery, I remember the first episode, I was like, you have me intrigued. And by the second episode, now you have my full dedicated attention. And waiting weekly for the new episode is torture. I love it. I have no idea where it's going. It reminds me a lot of Broadchurch, which is a British TV show that's also a murder mystery. And Broadchurch has been one of the, like, I think the only one that I have not guessed who the murderer was. So I really love Broadchurch. And so Mayor of Easttown has that kind of same vibe. So I think it's going to go the same direction as Broadchurch, or maybe not. I don't know. It's just a town full of people I don't trust. I don't trust a single person there. And then there's this writer who came and he talks about his book, and I was like, please tell me you did not kill that girl the same way you killed someone in your book. I don't know. He seems kind of sus. And yeah, I'm really invested in the show, but also it's very dark and very triggering for some people, so I fully understand if you're not able to handle this show, fully understand. But it's really, really good so far, and it's only 7 episodes, which makes me sad. But, you know, I love it when they're short and sweet. So I'm loving The Mayor of Easttown, and I'm surprisingly not seeing that many people talk about it, which, with such a cast that it has...
I don't know what you mean. It was everywhere on my timeline.
Really?
The past few days.
Really?
It was on my timeline, but like...
In my timeline...
Yeah, people were going off about it recently.
Yeah. I've never heard about it until now.
In my time, I only saw like three people. New. I only saw like three people. Anyway, good. People should be watching the show. It's great. And Kate Winslet is great as always. So yes, I'm having a lot of fun and I'm making, you know, my suspect list, which currently includes the entire town of Easttown. So we shall see how this goes.
And finally, with her newest hottie pick, Anna, take it home.
Let's go.
Mira.
Anna,
Mira.
Say it. Say it. Say it.
Mira. Okay. So I know I came late to the party. So
yeah, Anna, tú y yo, we started watching it at the same time.
You watched it the day the finale aired. You didn't wait.
Yeah, because the thing is, I wasn't gonna like watch it now, but because I saw all those screenshots and spoilers, and I was like, you know what, might as well just start now.
I'm late to this. Just because it had started, I didn't know where it was. I didn't know it was on Prime. I didn't know what days it was going. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna wait until it ends. And I did, and that's what we did, and it was good. Let's go.
So I binge watch Invincible on Amazon Prime. Oh my god.
Yes.
So yes. I remember that Gabriela said that I was gonna like it, and also I remember that Rafi was pushing me to watch it because he was like, Sophia, you have to see this. You're gonna like it. And oh my god, that first episode got me hooked. I wasn't expecting.
I don't think
nobody wasn't expecting this.
Unless you read the comics.
Yeah.
You didn't know. Because it was so funny, because when I started watching it, I think on episode 3. And I had no idea, because, you know, as you know, I'm not like the biggest animation fan, so me watching the show, like, honestly, it's kind of like a miracle. But I remember I watched it because my friends kept saying, oh, it's dark. You know, it's not like, it's dark. You're going to like it. So I caved in. And at first, I was not understanding why they kept saying it was dark, because the first episode is like, this seems, you know, like, not, why is it only for adults? Like, I feel like teens could watch this show. And then the last 5 minutes hit and it's like, oh, yeah, this is for adults.
Yeah, and I thought, because it was the same thing for me, they said, hey, it's gonna go way dark, and I thought it was like gradually in each episode it goes darker. No, it's from the first episode on. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I wasn't expecting that much gore, this much violence, and I just got hooked.
I literally clutched my pearls at the end of that pilot.
Yeah, it's
not even because of the gore was jarring or anything. It was mostly because they do a really good job of getting you to like these characters, and then it's so sad seeing how it ends.
Yeah,
man, I just want to hug Mark Grayson, because that kid is traumatized.
You think?
For life.
You think?
I love how everyone references that exact scene. Every single meme is that scene of the finale.
I mean,
if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about.
I mean, it was pretty jarring. I was not expecting it. I sat there in shock.
Yeah,
talk about a trolley problem.
Jesus Christ. No season.
Oh my god, shit.
Okay, so I'm not gonna spoil a lot, but there's something that has to do with a train, and oh my god. I had to pause the episode because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. This was too, like, it was a lot to take in, what I was seeing. It was a lot.
I want to rewatch the show just because I've felt empty ever since I finished it.
Same. Yeah, I'm looking forward to now.
And it's such a great, I was really intrigued, and the story really kept me going. The voice acting was amazing.
Listen, Steven Yeun voice acted in that last episode as if rent was due.
He collected that paycheck, okay?
He was like, I need this paycheck. I'm a voice act my ass off.
And Jake and Simmons like an asshole.
Jake, you know what? If there was an actor that should voice Omni-Man, it's definitely J.K. Simmons.
Like, listen, you know what's funny? I saw the character design and I was like, you know who would be a good actor for this? J.K. Simmons. And then I started watching it and I paused it and I saw the credits and I was like, oh, wow, la pegué.
Truly. And also Sandra Oh. God, I love her. Yeah.
But also the cast is phenomenal. It's one of the shows where I was telling Gabriela that, like, usually you adamantly say, I do not want anyone to adapt this into live action. However, you know what I want? Just a limited thing. Make it, like, 5 minutes. And just have all of them just interacting with each other. Just for a second. Just for us. Maybe like a little clip to promote the second season. I don't know. Because the cast is so nice and so rich. They just all bounce off each other really well. And they actually do look like their characters. It's just so fun. I would love to see them just interacting.
Yeah.
Please.
And I want to point out something that I had really, like, a lot of fun watching, even though it was really short. Every time, like, in each episode, there's the title card. So every time, a character was going to say the name Invincible, the title card goes up. I was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. I love
that. So I like it. I like that because it actually reminded me of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, because they do that too, where they don't say Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, of course, but what they do is that whenever they get an F-bomb every episode, but it's not really an F-bomb because it's network television, so whenever Zoe is gonna swear, they put the title card and then they go to commercial. And it just, I like how shows are doing that now. I think it's very creative.
Yeah, and I really like how if you haven't watched Walking Dead, every time that the title card comes up, it was darker and darker. So with this one, it becomes blurrier.
Yeah,
I just really love that small detail about it.
But also going back to Walking Dead, since the comics were written by Robert Kirkman, who wrote the Walking Dead comic, so a lot of the voice actors are like actors from the Walking Dead. Especially in the first episode, like, most of the Guardians, all of them are Walking Dead actors. So I was just, you know, I recognized all the voices. So it was kind of like a little Walking Dead reunion. And obviously Steven Yeun is voices, you know, Invincible. So I don't know, I thought that was kind of fun how it was kind of like a little Walking Dead reunion.
I also like that the creator was involved.
Yeah.
It was a little moment. I love that.
It's a really fun show. It got way darker than I expected, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it's like a really dark Sky High.
Really?
It is.
Not for children.
I'm excited for the next two seasons that they got renewed so easily.
Yes. You know, make them quickly, please.
Please.
Animation takes time. But please, hire me as an assistant.
I love also whoever runs the Invincible Twitter account.
It's me.
Gasp.
Whoever runs that account, honestly, they have rights. They should get a raise.
And with that, we conclude our shows we've watched episode. Posers, do you have any final words before we conclude this week's episode?
Please watch these shows and let us know what you think. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, if you agree, especially with the guilty pleasures. Do you agree these are guilty pleasures? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Let us know.
Do you think the Jersey Shore is an American history worthy show? That it is an American institution? That there should be museums that display the note?
Oh my god.
Okay. Anna, we'd visit.
Oh my god. Okay, so if you have seen Smash, which was the better musical, Bombshell or Hit List? For me, not for the posters. This is for me, for science purposes.
Can you guys, you know, hit up Netflix, you know, write it a little bit on the email, just saying renew Hannibal season 4.
And while you're writing them, can you tell them to renew Julie and the Phantoms and pick up The Baker and the Beauty for Josie's agenda? Writing an email.
Yes.
Come on. It's not that hard.
Nope.
People want to see this. It's that simple.
Josie did not get to where she is without fighting for these shows.
Exactly. And well, that's all for today's episode. We'd like to thank you for listening and to give a shout out to all the kind people sending love our way. If you'd like to keep up with us, make sure to follow us at Film Posers on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Where can they find you, posers?
So you can find me on Twitter at Gabby_Burgos27 and on Letterboxd at Gabby Cristina.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Anna_Sophia53 and on Letterboxd as Anna_Sophia.
You can find me on Twitter at Leading Mohicans and on Letterboxd at Leading Mohicans.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd as at The Josie Marie. Again, thank you for listening. And remember, we're all film posers. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ron, stop.